Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Doctors take an oath to do no harm, yet some doctors are directly involved in state executions and acts of torture by our national government. How do doctors and doctors' associations rectify this? What do you think about doctors playing a role in executions? We invite you to join our conversation. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And you can email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. And we're joined by Dr. Jason Morrow, a medical ethicist and a palliative care specialist at the UT Health Science Center. Dr. Morrow, Jason, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much, David.
So the concern about doctors having a role, not just being present, but they're having a role in an execution of someone, even that runs afoul of the AMA or who, the Doctors Association? Why? What's the problem?
That's right. The American Medical Association says that for physician participation is a violation of medical ethics because physicians are fundamentally advocates for the health and welfare of the patients for whom they care. And participation in state-sponsored execution fundamentally is in pursuit of retributive justice for a crime committed. So on the one hand, while the American Medical Association and other professional organizations recognize that physicians who participate could, in theory, promote compassion and relieve suffering and prevent cruelty, the condemned are not treated as patients in the traditional way because neither did they consent to being treated by this physician in this way, and nor is their welfare or health advocated by the treatment.
Recently in the news, we've seen what they call botched executions, executions that did not go smoothly, and apparently there was a lot of pain and suffering on the part of the criminal who was being put to death. Having doctors around, I mean, shouldn't they be able to make sure that this execution goes smoothly?
Well, you're right, David. There are several recent cases that have brought the concept and practice of lethal injection really under intense scrutiny. Dennis McGuire in Ohio in January took more than 20 minutes to die. He was witnessed as having gasped for air for more than 10 to 13 minutes. This was using an untested protocol involving midazolam or Versed and hydromorphone or Dilaudid, sedating and pain medications. That was in Ohio. Then in April, Clayton Lockett died of a heart attack after a failed execution attempt in Oklahoma. He was also using an untested mixture of drugs and survived for 43 minutes after convulsing and speaking to the witness chamber. Then in July, Joseph Wood III in Arizona was described as having gasped and snored or snorted for 2 hours before he died, also receiving the same protocol that had been used in Ohio. And this is not the first time that the so-called botched executions have occurred. I might even say that it's not so much botched, it's just part of what comes with any attempt to medicalize death. Yes, if physicians are present, then it's possible that the IV lines could be inserted more capably, that the EKGs could be read more accurately, and that someone could be present to administer medicine. But it really raises the question of what is the role of the medical professional? Does our listening public, do they want their physicians participating in execution, or does it violate an oath? And this goes back for decades. It was in the 1970s that in Gregg versus Georgia, the United States Supreme Court ruled that that capital punishment could be rationally and consistently employed, and therefore allowing states to restart the practice of capital punishment. But lethal injection at that time was invented by a physician who is a forensic pathologist in Oklahoma who had been sought out by the medical director of the medical examiner community in Oklahoma to concoct a solution, something as an alternative to electrocution and firing squads. So what he came up with was a sedating medicine, a paralyzing medicine, and potassium chloride, which stops the contracting of the heart muscle. And this cocktail, which had never been tested before, became the standard of usage for 38 states who use lethal injection. And there are some really incredible stories about cases that happened early on. For example, in 2006 in Florida, a criminal condemned to Angel Nieves Diaz was not successfully executed with the standard lethal injection dose after 35 minutes. Autopsy showed that the IV that had been used passed through his veins and was just leaking into his soft tissues. In 2007, Christopher Newton's execution took 2 hours. He took a bathroom break during the middle of his execution. And a year later, and also in Ohio, Joseph Lewis Clark's execution took 90 minutes, and he was heard by witnesses as saying, "Don't work, don't work." So what we're seeing is that even if we attempt to medicalize with the theory of and practice of medicine brought to bear to minimize the risk of cruelty at the time of execution, it's inevitable that there will be failures. I mean, you can imagine, David, let's say we were to bring the condemned to the operating suites in our hospitals, right? That would maximize the presence of physicians and minimize the risk of cruelty, but it would also maximize the presence of the medical profession. And I'd like to know what the listening audience would think about an imagined scenario of involving the medical profession in that way.
If you want to call in and let Dr. Morrow know, talk about what you think about doctors taking part in executions, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. So you're saying that having doctors involved, there is this attempt to create this appearance, this show that we have a clean, antiseptic way of executing people that basically they go to sleep. But you're showing that we have a history of problems, of botched executions, and that they suffer, and it's not pretty, and that doctors are involved, and we have to raise some questions about whether or not these doctors are actually harming the overall medical profession when they act this way.
You're right, David. You know, Bob Dylan talks about the executioner's face is always well hidden. And this is because the social practice of execution is intrinsically a conflict between the relationships that people have for one another and the need to promote some sort of justice, especially when we're talking about heinous crimes. But think about the procedure of lethal injection. An individual strapped to a gurney with a white bedsheet pulled to their chest. Their arm is swabbed with alcohol to prevent infection. Think about that. 2 IVs are started, one for backup. These are usually performed by a prison employee who is trained in venipuncture, but nothing else. A heart monitor is attached. A curtain is then lifted for witnessing from the witnessing chamber, and the condemned offers their final statements. And then the 3 drugs, the cocktail described, are administered sequentially. It looks very much like an operating room. But the science and the practice of administering these drugs is simply not exposed to the usual rigor and study that would be used in other forms of medical or surgical treatment.
But in Texas, we're no longer using the 3 cocktails. We're down to 1 cocktail, 1 drug, which is supposed to, sedate the criminal, the convict, to death. And it's still, is there a doctor in Texas that participates?
There are doctors in Texas, yes, that do assist with or witnessing of execution. What you're talking about is called the Ohio Protocol, where the administration of sodium thiopental, the barbiturate that was the first drug in the in Chapman's protocol, is used, and then only secondary use of midazolam or hydromorphone.
Okay, we're talking about doctors who execute, doctors who take part in the lethal injections and executions put out across the in state penal institutions across the country. What do you think about doctors who participate in this? Should there be some sort of way to sanction or shun them? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'll get to the phone calls when we come back from this break. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about doctors who execute, doctors who take part in the execution of criminals after they receive a capital, sentence, after they've gone through the criminal process. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Our guest this half hour is Dr. Jason Morrow, and he's a medical ethicist and a palliative care specialist at the UT Health Science Center. Let's go to the phones. Andrew has called in. Andrew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. Yes, in the early days of medicine, when it was still pure and when there were very little, when execution was rather primitive form. Medicine was intended as a means to heal and to help sick people. And even today, when new doctors take the oath, one of the lines, I don't know which one, it says, "We will do no harm." And execution is very certainly a means of harming and ending life. And that's, states should not have a means to make doctors assist in this at all.
Okay, Andrew, thank you for your call. We appreciate you chiming in, sounding off, letting us know what you think about that. So he's saying that, you know, going back to the old days, doctors, this whole profession of medicine started off about healing. But, I mean, doctors have been part of this process for as long as we've been executing people, haven't they?
Well, at least in modern times, absolutely. Physicians have had a voice in lethal injection since was first proposed by Dr. Julius Blount Meyer in 1888 in New York because it was considered cheaper than hanging, but his recommendation was not followed. The notion of lethal injection resurrected by the British Royal Commission on Capital Punishment in the early 1950s, but the British Medical Association successfully fought against that for the same reason that it violated the medical oath. But then we talk about how in the late 70s it was a group of physicians who devised a protocol for lethal injection in the wake of firing squads and hangings and electrocutions that simply burned into the public conscience. So I agree that the medical profession is in some way being co-opted into a practice that does not serve the ends of medicine. I actually would take the American Medical Association's view one step further. If the American Medical Association cannot condone the participation of physicians, then why doesn't the American Medical Association say de facto that capital punishment is simply not something supported by the American Medical Association?
And the guillotine was invented by a French doctor as a humane way to end life, a quick way. So there's a connection there as well. Back to the phone lines. John has called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks. Yes, as a physician myself, after seeing the recent debacle in Oklahoma and Arizona in those executions, I don't see what's wrong with having either a physician consult. I mean, the Institute of Medicine report says, you know, there's about 400,000 unintended deaths and medical calamities every year that medical professionals are responsible for. And so just to have a physician involved in the process to be able to give that sort of expertise in how to proceed without prolonging the suffering of an inmate, I don't see what's so inhumane about that.
Okay, John, thank you for your call. And so, Dr. Morrow.
Well, I completely agree that one of the primary values that we pursue in medicine is to relieve suffering. I'm a physician. I'm a palliative care physician. I witness death. And I recognize that the human body, the human life is not meant to endure forever. There's an arc to human life, and people have to die of something. One of the roles I play is to reduce suffering. But I can know deep in my conscience that I honor and respect the sanctity of life, and that if someone's life is going to end, yes, I can promote the relief of suffering, but never can I hasten death. Now, there are certain situations in certain states and countries where euthanasia is legal, but setting that aside for the moment, what's happening in a state-sponsored execution, the physician is complicit in delivering state-sponsored justice, which is a different end than medicine. So I don't deny that it's possible that doctors could relieve suffering, but I do think that they are pursuing a different end than medicine, which is why some state legislatures have designated participation in execution as not medical practice and therefore immunizing physicians from discipline by state licensing bodies, because state licensing bodies cannot condone the behavior of physicians participating in execution. And that's why legislatures have to go out of their way to try to protect physicians. And one way is to create anonymity. And in any situation where you're a physician and you have to be anonymous, it does raise the question of whether that's serving the professional role.
Back to the phone lines. Donald has called in. Donald, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Glad to be on.
Okay.
My opinion is that there's two different ways you can go about it. There's you integrate doctors a lot more into it, get more involved in the testing and the development of these drugs, I mean, the only other thing you do is it follows the death penalty if you don't want all these botched executions and things happening on a regular basis.
Okay, Donald, thank you for your call. So he brings up the point about the formulation of the drugs, and that's turned out to be a problem, particularly in Texas. That's why we switched methods. We have trouble getting hold of the compound needed to actually kill people because of public pressure.
Right. It's interesting that the European Union banned the exportation of medications that could be used in execution in 2011. And so where are these drugs coming from? So many states are using compounding pharmacies, but this is shrouded in secrecy, partly to protect the life and integrity of the pharmacists who contribute to this. But because it's secret, to some extent, it violates due process of the condemned, which is what lawyers are advocating now, that the criminals have a right to know the sources and the manufacturer, the drug codes, the lot numbers, and other information relating to their means of execution. But I think this caller makes a really great point, and he said it better than I did. Either we do everything we can to minimize suffering involved in execution, and maybe physicians could help with that, because we want to reduce cruel and unusual punishment as recommended to us by the 8th Constitution of the United States. Or we have to do away with the death penalty because we cannot tolerate any form of execution that creates a risk of seeing what we saw in recent months and really throughout the last 30 years of the use of lethal injection. And if you don't like what you see with lethal injection, do you like what you see with electrocution, firing squads, hanging, beheading, drawing and quartering?
Well, I mean, our society, we know poll after poll shows Texans support capital punishment. That's what Texans they want. And so your question to that is, I mean, if you're going to do it, why not have a doctor at least to make sure that it's done correctly?
I totally sympathize with that view. And as a physician, I do want to reduce the suffering. I hate to hear of these stories of people gasping. You think about the role in the cocktail that Chapman developed in the 70s of pancuronium. It's a paralytic. Why did we use paralytic in this cocktail? Barbiturates knock you out, the pancuronium paralyzes you, and then the potassium chloride stops your heart. What's the role of that paralytic? It's so that the people who are watching don't have to see seizures. It's like adding a technological medical curtain to the experience. And if our conscience says that's not what we want to see, then is that something that we should ask somebody else, like our doctors, to do?
Back to the phone lines. John has called in. Hey, John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Okay. I don't know why we need doctors involved anyway. I'm 80 years old. I'm a military veteran. I've probably had more than my fair share of blood draws and injections and IVs, and I've never had a doctor do one of them. The people that do it are trained to do it. I've asked questions. I'm an engineer. I pay attention. They stick the needle in to make sure they've got it in a vein. They put a little back pressure on it, and if it draws blood out, you're in a vein. If it doesn't, you're not in a vein, and you stick again. And if they use two of them, which I didn't know, with a backup, that's gross ignorance or lack of training, lack of procedures. I don't know why we're worried about doctors. There are literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of people out there qualified to give shots, draw blood for blood donations, and what else? So, and as far as the chemical is used, what do they use to put animals down? My vet tells me I've had a couple dogs put down. He said they don't suffer. It was good enough for the dog, just good enough for this guy who probably raped and strangled somebody and shot him, cut their throat. We're making a big problem out of nothing.
Okay, John, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate the points that you raise. So, Dr. Morrow.
John, I appreciate your service, and I appreciate your comments. You know, why do we even need physicians at all? Well, the argument is that you can train somebody technically to insert an IV, and you can train somebody to put on the heart monitoring. But what happens if something goes wrong?
Yeah,
you
but
need
the
somebody
one thing is
there who
the
understands.
The prisoners typically, as I understand it, they do things to try to make it difficult to put in the IV or get a good vein. They try to go without water for as long as possible. They build up their arms through exercise to try and create a muscle tension so that you can't get a good – so they're deliberately trying to make this effort difficult, whereas if you're a patient, you're not doing it.
Well, that is an interesting way to object to something. I do see that if something goes wrong or things get complicated, you do need somebody there who understands what they're doing. So I can see the argument for having somebody with enhanced technical understanding of how to place an IV and deal with something if it doesn't work. By the way, it's very interesting that the caller mentions what is used to take down animals. Back in the late 70s, when Texas adopted the Chapman Protocol and actually first used it for Charles Book Jr. in 1982, at that time, the medical director for the Texas Department of Corrections was a Dr. Ralph Gray, and he consulted not only with Dr. Chapman from Oklahoma, but Dr. Gary Etheridge, who was a veterinarian in Texas at that time. He recommended using phenobarbital, but Dr. Gray, and phenobarbital is what was used to put down dogs, Dr. Gray from the Texas Department of Corrections felt that public outcry would ensue if Texas used the same drug to kill both humans and dogs.
All right, Dr. Jason Morrow, medical ethicist and palliative care specialist at the UT Health Science Center, helping us learn about doctors who execute, doctors who take a role in how our prison system puts to death criminals who've gotten capital punishment. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.